Good morning. Why don't you guys have a quick seat? Welcome to New City Church. How are we doing today? Oh, come on. Welcome. There we go. Man, like, here's something like if you're new to worship or you only kind of like sing in your car in the shower. Like, when you make words of proclamation about God, you are wonderful, right? You are, what was that second one? Beautiful. You are matchless in every way. Like, you keep repeating those things. Woo, if they don't do something to you, you need to go to the doctor. Man, that's pretty awesome. I love that. I love that line and that song. Well, good morning. My name is Matt. And man, it's so awesome that you're here with us today. My wife and I, Jen, we moved here almost 10 years ago. Jen, you want to wave? She's in the back. That's my wife. And we moved here almost 10 years ago. I don't make her stand in the back. That's where she is right now because she's working with the kids, right? Just wanted to share that. But the way that our story unfolded is we landed, because we didn't move to Kansas City and say, hey, we're going to live in Shawnee. We moved to Kansas City with the hopes of one day planting the church. Welcome to New City, 7 years old today. What? Pretty awesome. Since that time, we've given birth to 2.5 kids, right? We've got Edgerton going this morning. Miriam is actually with us today because the schools are closed down. Miriam, welcome to the house. And then we've got a little baby on the way on Easter Sunday of this year. New City Loma Vista will be taking place. So we're excited about that, right? 7 years, our family's grown pretty fast. And so, but what was fun in our story is that we just ended up buying a house. God led us, I believe this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Anybody know that scripture? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths, or it might say, make your path straight. And that was one of Jen and I's key prayers in our whole church planting season. And our path led us straight to Shawnee. And man, we love this city. Like, I am a fan of Shawnee. And I had a fun Facebook message this week. The mayor of Shawnee, Mayor Disler, messaged me and said, hey, when are your services? And I said, we have two. Which one do you want to come to? And she said, both, right? And so I'm going to invite our mayor to come on up. Can you guys welcome Mayor Disler this morning? She's got on her Chiefs swag. Who watched that game yesterday? Pretty good game, right? Awesome. So, Mayor, I'll turn it over to you. And just, how would you like to encourage this awesome congregation this morning?
Well, I am so excited. I can't even begin to tell you. When I walked into this building this morning, I can feel the vibration of the Spirit. I first met Pastor Miller 4 years ago when you brought the service to Old Shawnee Days. So I was awestruck by that because nobody had ever done that before, and we've got to reach them to teach them, right? So then, not only did I start going to those services and thought that was incredible, but there's kind of a backstory too. So I grew up, I'm a lifelong resident of Shawnee, and I grew up in Shawnee Village, these little homes built for the men coming home from war in the 50s, little 600-square-foot house, and we would ride our bikes up to the Dollar Movie Theater, Trail Ridge Movie Theater, which was your first plant. And then I found myself here, and my daughter went to school here, and I was here for about 10 years, and I worked here as the publications director for the church that was here before you. And so when I walked in, again, I'm just awestruck. But the Spirit is really working in Shawnee, Kansas right now. There's so many things going on. And not only have you helped start some of that several years ago when you came, there's a reason why God brought you to Shawnee. Yeah, and hopefully y'all found the roads nice on your way in. Thanks to our amazing public works.
That's right.
Yeah, they're the unsung heroes of this street.
They did that just for us today.
Yes.
That's what we're going to tell people. You heard it, right?
Yep.
That's what you heard. That's what I heard.
Yeah. So you started partnerships with the schools, with the city, and so we do a lot of faith church faith city partnerships with volunteering and things like that going on, and we've been meeting again about that recently. We've had more meetings to get that rejuvenated and new ideas going on there. And then additionally, it's kind of like this full circle's going on, because 2 weeks ago I went to the open house, the oldest church in Shawnee, this little bitty Baptist church. I think it has about 6 pews in it. It was going to be demolished. It was built in the 1800s. Somebody saved that church and renovated it, and they are currently looking for a small church to call it home. And then full circle, so that's the oldest church in Shawnee, is still standing and looking for people, looking for believers. And then we come here to where you've had this expansion, this growth, this amazing explosion. But The Spirit is alive in Shawnee, and it's alive in this church, and you can feel it. You can feel the vibration here this morning, and so I'm so excited for you guys. I'm so excited of everything you've done. You've brought this building back to life, and so I can't thank you enough. I can't, and so I hope that with the new development going in across the street, that, again, we'll reach them to teach them, and so.
Amen. Before you take off, let's pray for our mayor and for our city. Can we do that? Awesome. So, Father God, we thank you for Mayor Disler. God, I pray for her leadership. Your word tells us to pray for our leaders. And, Father, we do. We lift Michelle up to you right now. We pray for her family. We pray for the city that she gives leadership to. And, God, would you bless her indeed as she trusts you. Thank you that as our mayor, she acknowledges you and your Spirit's leading in our city. God, we bless her. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's give a warm welcome to Michelle Disler. Thank you, Mayor. Well, good morning again, and man, it's so awesome that you're here today. I'm really excited. This church has accomplished, when I say this church, I'm not talking about a facility, I'm talking about this people. We've accomplished a lot of things over the last 5 months. And if you're here this morning and you're wearing one of our New City tees because you're one of our volunteers, would you just please stand for me just real quick, because there's a lot of you. I see you out there. Can we, and I know there's more, but let's thank you guys. I appreciate you so much. We've had people praying, and I mean, like, when I say praying, I'm not talking about like they prayed before they blessed their meal, before they ate. I mean, we've had people praying. But here's what we're going to do today. We're kicking off. If you're here for the very first time, welcome to New City Church. Please make sure you get your free t-shirt. First 50, first-time guest, get a t-shirt. We want to give all of those away. Really look like you have a choice there. But today we're gonna kick off this series of Believe, and here's what we're asking everybody to do, and so many of you have already done this. We're asking you to invest into your spiritual development over the next 30 weeks and buy at least two books. The Believe book, right? And your Believe small group books. There's four asks, and this is number one, is to buy the books. They're $10 each, $20. Now, if you're a third-time guest this morning, you get these for free. Right? You get these for free. And so we want to bless you with that. So that's the first ask. So if you're here, like, what do I need to do today? Man, this is going to be our guide along with God's Word, which this book, if you've read it this week, you understand that this book is not a commentary. This book is filled with Scripture. That's the majority, 90-10, Scripture to commentary, right? But not only are we asking you to buy the book, we're asking you to read a chapter every week. So read a chapter every week. Today, we're going to discuss chapter 1. That's what many of you have been reading. So we're going to end today by discussing chapter 1. The third ask is to join a Believe City group. We have over 25. Here's the fun thing. I was told this week that we have 186 people currently in a Believe City group. Is that not awesome? That's fantastic. And that's not counting our discipleship ministry. So we did Believe City groups to help get people connected into our church family. And there's 186, and there's still spots open. So if you're not yet in a Believe City group on our app, we're on our website, man. Please take the time to find the group that works best for you. So buy the book, read a chapter, join a group. What's the fourth thing? Check, you've done it, you're here, right? Be here on Sunday as I wrap up the chapter that we've been discussing. And today, what we believe is over this series called Believe, that at the conclusion of it, you'll know what you believe and why you believe it. This is important. One of our elders, Charlie Blair, says this often. Know what you believe and why you believe it. And today we're going to jump into that because how many of you guys know that when you talk about the topic of capital G God, that it can sometimes be a little overwhelming, right? I mean, anybody in the room got God figured out? Please don't raise your hand. Because if you can figure God out, then you must be God. God is unable to be figured out, and we ask a lot of questions about God. And I experienced this in my life not long ago. I have a son named Luke. He's 7. Last year when he was 6, one day I'm sitting in my room, I'm in my chair, and I'm reading a book. Don't know what I'm reading. We'll call it the Bible so you'll think I'm awesome, right? But I'm reading, and Luke's in the bathroom, door shut, taking care of stuff, right? You with me? 6-year-old. And from the bathroom, I hear this, "Dad, I just don't get it." I'm like, oh, gosh. What's this going to be, right? I've learned that about Luke. He said, "I just don't get it. How can God be God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? I just don't understand." That's what, well, I don't know what you think about when you're in the restroom. But my little six-year-old, this is what he's thinking about. He's sitting there pondering one of the complicated questions that most adults can't figure out, right? I don't get it. How can God be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And so I'm sitting there reading, and I'm like, I mean, this is a true story. Under my breath, in my head and heart, I said, Lord, will you give me wisdom so I can make this in such a way that my six-year-old son understands it? And then God gave me an idea. God answered my prayers like he always does, right? You know what God said? This is what he said. So the door shut, right? And I said, pretty loud voice, Luke, can you hear me? He says, yeah. I go, but can you see me? He says, no. And I go, that's how God the Father worked in the Old Testament. People heard his voice, but they never saw him. And I said, but when the time was right, and I'd walked to the door and I flung it open, right? I said, when the time was right, God sent his son. And I said, can you hear my voice? And he's laughing. Yeah, Dad. I go, can you see me? And he goes, yeah. And I walked over to him, you know, and I put my hands all over him. I can do that. I'm a dad. And I'm just messing with him like I'm trying to push him in the toilet, you know, whatever. And come on, I'm that dad. And I'll go, can you feel me? And he goes, yeah. And I go, that's what Jesus, man, for 33 years, the people got to hear God and see God. And man, some were even fortunate enough, they got to touch God himself when they touched Jesus. And I said, but what happened to Jesus? Because we teach this stuff at home, right? Not just on Sundays. I said, what happened to Jesus? He goes, well, he died. I go, great, he died on the cross, right? And I go, but what happened next? He goes, he came back to life. I go, good job, you're passing. Pastor's kid, two thumbs up, right? I said, he came back to life, he resurrected, and then he went back to the Father, and then I shut the door. Now, it's going to get loud. You guys okay with that? As loud as I could shout in the house, I went, Luke, can you hear me? Luke says yes, my two daughters say yes. I say, can you see me? And about this time, the girls are running up to the room. Luke's laughing. No, the girl's like, Daddy, what do you want? And Jen's like, what do you want? And I go, nothing. I'm just being the Holy Spirit, right? Listen, I'm a weird dad, right? But Luke kind of got it, right? That God the Father, we heard his voice, but we didn't see him. God the Son, man, people, lucky, blessed people got to see God, feel God, hear God, touch God, and then the Holy Spirit. And Mayor Distler said this, like you might not be able to see the Spirit, but man, you can see the Spirit moving. You need to be able to see the Spirit physical shape, but you can experience God's very Spirit here in his presence, right? Now, I want to share a quote with you from a really, really smart theologian named A.W. Tozer. And Tozer says this, and this is really, really good. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Right? Let's kind of ponder on that just a quick second. What comes into our mind, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And today we're going to talk about this big topic, God. And we're going to start with our key question. It was found on page 15 of your Believe book, the title chapter, and it says this. The key question is, who is God? Who is God? And today we're going to help provide kind of the wrap it up. You've had discussions, you've read on your own, you've kind of formed maybe some of your own conclusions based on the scriptures that we read. Today I want to share the things that jumped out to me. I want to start with this. Did you know that in the world, there are roughly 4,200 different religions? That's 4,200. That's a lot of gods. That's a lot of gods. And when you read your Bible, what you might be surprised to discover is that the Bible does not spend its time trying to deny the authenticity of other gods. The Bible doesn't spend its time trying to get you not to believe in another god. You know what the Bible does? God doesn't deny, God challenges. What you read in the scriptures, and you read it this week if you read the story of Elijah and going against the prophets of Baal, is that Elijah didn't try to debate them or argue them. He said, bring it. Let's see what your God can do. And there's a reason for that. We learn from the scriptures that God is a jealous God. Did you know that? Well, you shouldn't be jealous. No, God's a jealous God. Look in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 and 5. This is just the first two of the Ten Commandments. First two. The first one says this. God says to the Israelites, do not have any other gods besides me. Is that a capital G or little g? It's a little g, right? Don't have any other gods before me. besides me. Commandment number two, do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. Do not bow and worship to them and do not serve them, for I, the Lord your God, last four words with me, am a jealous God. Let's say those last four together. Am a jealous God. God is a jealous God. So I kind of came up with a tale of the tape, right? We're going to tell this story quickly between the prophets of Baal and the prophet of Elijah. And so this is what we find in this story. Elijah is making everybody angry because Elijah is poking the bear. And the bear is the king and the bear is the people who are worshiping this god Baal. So here's a little bit about Baal and God, right? God is the god of the Hebrews. Baal was the god of the Canaanites. God has been here before the beginning. Baal was the creation of El and Asherah. In the scriptures, you'll sometimes read about Asherah poles as a place of worship, right? We'll get to that in just a second. Where does God reside? He is everywhere, forever and always, right? Where does Baal reside? Various shapes and sizes. He was an idol. People made him. He looked like different things, depending on how much you could afford and where you wanted to put him. How did God participate in worship? He asked people to love him and love their neighbor. What did Baal ask? Cut yourself and have sex at church. He didn't make the slide, but that's the truth. Asherah poles were places of worship in that regard. And so you could tell why it was kind of popular. You mean I get to go to church and? Yes, that's why it was popular, right? And it was drawing people away from God, where God says, love me and love your neighbor as yourself. And finally, what does God do? What's his primary attribute? God, he can make it a lot better, or he can make it a lot worse. You know that, right? God can make it a lot better, or he can make it a lot worse. Baal has a history of not showing up. And so we're going to read that right now. This story is found in 1 Kings, and this is an example of how God doesn't deny, but God challenges, because God is a jealous God. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to read verses 25 through 39 together. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, how many of them were there? Do you remember? 450 to 1, all right? Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, since you are so numerous, choose for yourself one bull and prepare it first. Then call on the name of your God, but don't light the fire. So they're going to build an altar. They're going to burn some meat, okay, barbecue. So they took the bull that he gave them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, Baal, answer us. But there was no sound. No one answered. Then they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them. I like this guy. He said, shout loudly, for he's a god. Maybe he's thinking it over, or maybe he has wandered away, or maybe he's on the road. Perhaps he's sleeping and will wake up. They shouted loudly and cut themselves with knives and spears according to their custom until blood gushed all over them. But there was no sound. No one answered. No one paid attention. Now it's Elijah's turn, right? Ding, ding, ding. Elijah took 12 stones, and he built an altar with the stones. Then he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 4 gallons of water. Next, he arranged the wood, cut up the bull, and placed it on the wood. He said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the offering to be burned on the wood. So we're going to soak it, right? Because nothing burns better than wet wood, all right? Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And then he said, a third. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. He even filled the trench with water. Elijah approached the altar and he said, God, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and I am your servant, and that at your word I have done all these things. Answer me, Lord, answer me so that these people will know that you, the Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the Lord's fire fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell face down and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord is God. Is that not a crazy story? Like, you know what happens next? I didn't tell this part. Elijah gathers up all the 450 prophets of Baal and slaughters them. Crazy story. Like, read it. Like, it's like Matrix meets every Keanu Reeves movie. I don't know what you call those things. Right? Right. Anyway, it's crazy, right? Now, this theme is found throughout the Bible. This theme of challenge, because God is a jealous God. Here's the deal. God expects your loyalty. The people that were there that day that came to witness this showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal were not foreigners. They weren't people from some other land. They were the Israelites. They were the very people of God whose hearts have been pulled astray by other gods and other types of worship. And God fights for his people. He fights for you. He's not going to argue with you. He's not going to try to prove his point. He wants to show up in your life. Elijah showed up big that day. And when the people saw how God responded, their hearts were turned back to God. Here's the thing. God is a jealous God. He expects your loyalty. Now, we understand loyalty, right? Like, I was thinking about these things. How many of you guys have switched phone carriers? Anybody in the room switched phone carriers in the last 3 years? Yeah, right? How many of you have switched how you get TV in the last 3 years? Like, my wife says that every time she finally figures out the remote, I change it on her, right? And that's kind of my strategy, actually, right? Now, we all understand loyalty. How many of you guys watched the Chiefs game yesterday? Right? Most people. That Arrowhead was full of loyalty. Would you agree? We wear the colors. I don't do that because I'm a Miami Hurricane, and that reminds me of the Florida Seminoles, so I just can't do that thing, right? But the stadium was packed with people who were loyal towards a specific team. We get that. We see that. Like, it would have been so dumb of me to wear a Colts, right? I'm sorry if you're a Colts fan. Sorry. Or a Patriots or Chargers shirt today. That would have been dumb. Like, bad move on grand opening, Matt. What's wrong with you, right? Because loyalty says no. Well, we get it when it comes to our teams. My friend Matt Mars, he put this on Facebook yesterday. I thought it was fun. He said, love how KC reacts to snow. 2 inches. Do not leave the house. Roads are very dangerous. 7 inches. Allow a little extra time for your drive to Arrowhead, right? Right? Like, some of us, we get loyalty. Like, I'm going to be there because, man, I'm going to be there. Because I'm loyal to that thing. Now, I had a fun experience with this just a week ago. 3 years ago, my wife and I, we got involved with Overland Christian School in their foreign exchange program. And with that, we were introduced to a young lady named Zen. And so we've had Zen for 3 years. She's from Vietnam. And when we first got her, we were going through her syllabus, right? And she had all of her school supplies. So Zen flew from Vietnam to Atlanta because Zen has some family, some aunts and cousins in Atlanta. So she was in Atlanta for a season, and then she flies to Kansas City. So she's here in Kansas City with us, and she has her syllabus. The very first week we get her, and we're going through all of her school supplies that she needs. And she comes to Jen and I, and she says, at the time she had okay English. Her English is much, much better now. But she says, I don't understand this word. And so she takes her syllabus, and she points to a word. And you know what the word she pointed to was? Bible. Her parents had sent her halfway around the world to a Christian school to live with a pastor. Right? It's crazy. And the girl didn't know what the word Bible was. And so we got her a Bible. That was 3 years ago. Since that time, OCS has done an awesome job in their Bible classes and just teaching up Zen and the discussions that she has. She comes to church with us every Sunday at 5:30, a part of our student ministry, and she's being taught. She's got the Teen Believe book that she's going to start that discussion. Now, Zen hasn't made a commitment to faith yet, and we've got her for, she's a senior this year. We've got her for a few more months, and her name is on my prayer wall. Like, I hope and I'm praying for nothing more that Zen will make a profession and a confession of faith that Jesus is her Lord and Savior and give her loyalty to God. That would be my prayer, right? You guys can join with me in praying for her. And there's a lot of kids like that at Overland Christian, as well as other schools who participate in foreign exchange student programs. But this Christmas, Zen went back to Atlanta. She flew back to Kansas City after the break, and I picked her up at the airport. It's just her and I, and we're driving back. I'm like, tell me about your trip, right? And she's like, I learned in Atlanta that I have cousins who are Christians, because in Vietnam, her whole family is Buddhist. And we've had a lot of conversations over the last, specifically 2 years, about Christianity and Buddhism. Right? We've had a lot of conversations. And so we're in the car, and she says this. She says, I'm really investigating the beliefs between what my mom and grandmother believe and the God that you follow. I'm investigating because I want to be loyal. She goes, I don't want to be wishy-washy. I don't want to be one way here in America, and when I go home to my family, be another way because I'm afraid. And then she says this. She's leaning towards Jesus, man. But you know what's pushing her away? She says, but I know that if I go home and I'm a Christian, it's really going to hurt my mom. And I said, you know what? You're probably right, Zen. You're probably right. And we just had this awesome, authentic conversation about what it looks like to be loyal to a jealous God who wants your worship. That, yeah, there's going to be some interesting and maybe even hard conversations, but I told her, you might be the very missionary that God is going to send back to Vietnam that changes the hearts and mind, that God's going to use you to impact your mom, because she just talks about how those other gods just don't work. She said, my mom takes me to temple before I go back to America, and she makes me, and she goes, I just don't get it. But she sees something happening with this God that we serve in the Bible. And that's what brings me to what was the most impactful thing for me this week. And I want to share it with you. And it was found in Joshua's story in Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15. And in this part of the Believe book, as we look at Joshua, this is what Joshua says to the people of Israel. He says, therefore, fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. Catch this. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, in 2019, church, individuals in the room, if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today. Choose for yourselves today which will you worship, the gods of your fathers worship beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living? And Joshua then makes this awesome declaration. You've probably heard it. You might have seen it on a little doorpost. But as for me and my family, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That is the basic battle cry that we start as we kick off this Believe chapter. And if you're ready, excuse me, church, if you're ready this morning, and your loyalty is with the one true God, then I invite you to join with me as we recite, and we're not going to put it up on the screen yet, but recite the first key statement from chapter 1 for those of you who had a chance to read and memorize. So some of you, I hope you got this, but we're going to give it a try, and then we're going to put it on the screens and everybody can read it together, okay? Here's the first core belief or key belief that we got from the Believe study this week, and it goes like this. I believe the God of the Bible is the only true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is the foundational belief that we will build everything else on. Let's put it on the screens and let's see. Because maybe for the first time in your life, you're like, hey, I believe that. But I've never said it out loud. I've never told anybody. So can we read this out loud if you agree? If you don't, just that's all right. You don't have to say it. No pressure here. You get to belong before you believe. But for those of us who do believe, man, let's make this public confession and worship together. I believe the God of the Bible is the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each week going forward, we're going to have a pop quiz. I'm going to prepare you. That we're going to do our best to recite the core belief of each chapter together. So come in ready and memorized to be able to participate in that. Now, when you really believe something, I'm almost done. When you really believe something, it changes the way you live. You know that, right? Like if you kind of believe something, then not really. But when you really believe something, it begins to change the way that you live. And it is my hope that as we continue to study God's word, that it's going to take deeper root into your heart, and you're going to begin to believe it in such a way that it's going to radically change the way you live. I want to end with kind of this thought. I want to read it because I don't want to mess it up. But in the Bible, God is rarely presented as an argument or a debate. Did you know that? In the Bible, God is rarely presented as in the forms of debate or argument. More than most times, God is experienced. More than most times, the people in God's word experience God. This is what I fully trust that God desires for you today, that you would experience the one true God. This is some good news, that God has been chasing you all your life. He's been hot pursuit. What was that deputy's name that you said, hot pursuit, on Dukes of Hazzard? I don't know. Anyway, okay. Sorry. Sometimes I just, rabbit. God has been chasing you all your life. Next week, this week, starting today, we're going chapter 2. We're going to talk about personal God. So again, get in your book. Get in your study guide, and we're going to talk about a personal God, like how God is inviting you into a relationship with him that is super real and super personal. And here's how it started. When the time was right, God sent his son. And people could hear him speak, They could see him with their eyes, and they could touch him. And then when that guy, Jesus, finished his task on 33 years and the cross and the resurrection, he gave us his spirit that leads us and guides us every single day. And when he speaks now, we all get to hear him. Amen?